Jet skis, wave runners, personal watercraft, they're part of summer in Wyoming. But here's what most people don't realize. They're often completely excluded from your homeowner's liability coverage. Not limited, excluded. So if someone gets hurt on your jet ski or by it, you could be on your own. Iron Valley Insurance Group helps make sure you're protected before you hit the water. Visit Jessica Weaver, certified insurance counselor in Sheridan. Make sure a great summer day doesn't turn into something much more expensive. Iron Valley Insurance Group. Forged in strength, guided by compassion. Request a quote at ironvalleyins.com.
Did you know the Country Bounty is online at sheridanmedia.com? That's right. You always have access to the Country Bounty. The print version of the bounty is still delivered to homes and businesses in Sheridan County and Buffalo, but you can also view it from your phone, tablet, or computer simply by going to sheridanmedia.com or countrybounty.com. You'll be able to scroll through the entire publication, click on inserts and more. Try it out. sheridanmedia.com or countrybounty.com. It's in the palm of your hand. The Country Bounty.
This public service announcement brought to you by Atlas Chiropractic. Your healing begins when you pick up the phone.
Hi, Sheridan. Summer fun is back at Sheridan College. This is Jessica Pickett inviting your 2nd through 8th grader to College for Kids, July 6th through the 9th from 8 until noon. It's 4 days of tie-dye, creative cooking, sports, and tons of fun. Spots are limited, so don't wait. Register today by emailing SheridanCollegeForKids@gmail.com. That's SheridanCollegeForKids@gmail.com.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Tuesday, June 2nd, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. And this morning, we are joined by Wyoming Historical Site Superintendent Sherry Mooney Shada and Tongue River Reservoir and Rosebud Battlefield State Parks Recreational Specialist Spencer Morris. Good morning, both of you. Welcome back.
Thank
Good
you.
Good morning.
Sherry, how are things up at the fort?
Good. Our new interpretive center has been open for a whole month now, and we've had people from, oh my gosh, all over the U.S., several countries, China, South Africa,
wow,
Germany. I mean, they're really coming in, and we've just been steadily busy. It's school tours were all last month, so we had several hundred children through.
That's amazing.
It's good. It's a busy place, yeah.
Did you get any of those bright-eyed looks as they walked through there?
With the kids.
Yeah.
They're always super excited to be there.
Just seeing that spark. You know, I talk mostly like science kids and things like that, but you see it all connecting behind the scenes, and you're like, I think I just found a biologist. And I would think it's great because, you know, up there you could be, I think I just found a historian, you know, watching that interest spark.
Yeah.
It's always got to be just great. Spencer, how are things at the reservoir, my friend?
Oh, you know, they're keeping going. We've seen, survived our first big weekend with Memorial Day. Beautiful weather, a lot of folks out. And for the anglers out there, fishing was pretty darn good for walleye and bass. We're not quite full for water level yet, but I think we're about 10 to 8 feet away from full pool, so hopefully, fingers crossed.
Yeah, when you go out there and you look at it, because you've been up there for how long?
This is my 21st summer.
My goodness. 21 years going up there looking at that water level. What are your thoughts on this year?
This is the first year since I've been there. I started April 1st, April Fool's Day in 2006, and I have a feeling this will be the first year it hasn't gone over the spillway.
Yeah.
So it's lower than I've seen at this time of year. So fingers crossed.
Yeah.
The last couple storm events have helped, but not near enough as we all look out and see.
Every time I see those gray clouds roll in, boy, I get excited now. You know, when I was a kid, I couldn't care less what was going on. But as I've gotten older, boy, I'm now that guy that hovers over his weather app all the time. You know, when's it coming? You're walking around saying those old things. We could use the moisture. you know. I think that comes with age.
It does.
Never thought I'd become my father, and here I am. All right, now let's jump right into it, because this is a big day of history, folks. So let's kick it off with what happened at the Battle of the Rosebud on June 17th, 1876.
Battle of the Rosebud was clearly a battle between the Northern Cheyenne, Lakota, and the U.S. Army. A small contingent of the Arapaho tribe. It's kind of interesting. We don't talk a lot about Rosebud, but the significance is huge. You have the U.S. Army with the second largest expeditionary force under Crook. The first was Patrick Connor in 1865. So you have Crook with almost 1,500 infantry, cavalry, and miners and packers meeting an equal number of Native American warriors. Oral tradition says anywhere from 900 to 1,500 Native American warriors met on the banks, small banks, of Rosebud Creek, and one of the largest battles in the American West in 1876. We don't think of war as an 8-to-5 job, really. You look at battles previous, you know, like Fetterman, Wagon Box, just a couple hours, and it's all over. Rosebud lasted from around 8 in the morning until 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
My goodness.
The battlefield, well, the state park is 3,052 acres. The battlefield, dependent on your favorite historian, is anywhere from 12 to 14 square miles. Just huge, moving battle. It's a challenge to interpret it because so much is going on. You know, you have point A, you have the surprise attack by the Native Americans in the morning. And it just, from that point on, everybody just kind of scatters.
Mm-hmm.
You have Captain Mills riding 10 miles north of the battlefield, later returning in the afternoon. You have Royal going out 3 or 4 miles away from Crook's position during the battle, getting out of sight. It's amazing. It's fun. The downside to it is, you know, we're basically a roadless park. So there's a lot of walking, or if you happen to have a horse, there's a lot of horseback riding to go see the battle.
What did the terrain look like? What does it look like out there? Is it all open prairie, or do we have some hills and some things that we got to traverse?
It would be amazing if they chose a flat place to fight. A lot easier on interpretation, but we're in the foothills of the Wolf Mountains. So Rosebud, when you get into the park, the interpretive plaza is in the valley, and from there it's uphill for hiking around and around the park. With that, when you get to, like, if you hike up to Crook's Hill, it's the second highest point on the battlefield, and you can see the Bighorn Mountains, you can see Tongue River Reservoir, you can see the coal mines, you can see almost see the crow's nest at Little Bighorn. When you finally make that ascent up the hill, the good news is everything's downhill from there.
You've done the tough part.
Yeah, you've done the tough part. But it's rolling hills. There's a couple of dark little canyons around there that you don't expect to see. It's I guess I look at it as when you're walking around there, there's some, those deep canyons remind you of being on the Bighorns in some point. The interesting thing is when we look at it, to how we view the battlefield today, besides, you know, some fences, our kiosks, a power pole and a few houses in the valley, the way we see the battlefield today is pretty much how the Native American warriors and soldiers saw the battlefield. It's very unchanged.
What now, when we look at it, It's 150th anniversary mm-hmm. of this battle. Why did we choose this as like, this is a big significant point? Is it just the 150 or?
For us, you know, we have, it always seems in history we celebrate things by 50. It's the 50th anniversary of this. It's the 100th anniversary. So sticking with that historical idea, the 150th, you know, there's a lot of battlefields that in the Sheridan area that we don't really talk about that much.
Yeah.
If we go 10 years earlier for Fort Phil Kearny, you have the Shirley fight, which happened over by where Cat Creek comes into Highway 14. You have the Crazy Woman Crossing fight down south of Buffalo that we just don't talk about them. We don't hear about them much.
Yeah, I've never heard of them.
And then
that's incredible.
You get up to 1876 and all these minor little battles. You have the June 9th fight, which happened where Prairie Dog Creek comes into Tongue River on Lower Prairie Dog Road. Like that battle was 1876. It was Crook and the Northern Cheyenne. Crook camped on the banks of Tongue River, Prairie Dog Creek, and setting up camp. And that evening, a band of Northern Cheyenne warriors went in to go steal horses, and someone may have touched off around and alerted the soldiers, and a quick little skirmish happened that evening. And then Crook returns to Sheridan. So when we recognize these 150th anniversaries, we try to make it as big as possible.
Yeah. When it comes to the Battle of the Rosebud, how did that influence battles going forward later that month?
So we're talking about how would it affect Little Bighorn? So with that, in 1876, there's the three-prong attack devised by General Philip Sheridan. And you have Custer coming from the east, you have Terry coming from the west, and you have Crook coming from the south. And using the parlance of the day, the orders were to return, quote-unquote, the hostiles to reservations. Hostiles? No. They're people trying to live their traditional lifestyle. So we all know that Custer met and the 7th Cavalry met their end at Little Bighorn. One of the things we should think about, had Crook with his nearly 1,500 soldiers make it to Little Bighorn and not be rerouted back to present day Sheridan, how that would affect history. When I give my battlefield presentation on site, I usually end it with, you know, in 1876, who was America's poster child? It was George Armstrong Custer. And, you know, what did they say in Austin Powers? Women wanted him and men wanted to be like him, kind of deal. This big, gallant guy. Had America's poster child not been killed, Crook meets up with Custer. How would the face look of our Native American reservations? Would they be as punitive as they turned out to be, or would they be slightly kinder? You know, that it's just an idea that always rolls around in the back of my mind. Would that not have come out as punitive as it was?
But because this battle at Rosebud occurs, mm-hmm. he doesn't have the men and materials to continue on, so he comes back.
Well, he doesn't have the materials. After Rosebud, Crook was basically his men were out of ammunition. There were no marksmen at this battle. When you look at, you have anywhere from oral tradition suggests 9 to 20 Native American warriors killed, and you have 9 soldiers killed. No one's a marksman here.
Wow. Wow. That many troops out there.
Yeah. You know, you have almost 3,000 people out there, and it's everyone's moving so fast. No one's, you know, everyone's pretty lucky, really.
Wow.
So Crook is only rerouted because he is out of ammunition, and he had left pack trains at Camp Cloud Peak, present day Sheridan, and he built along when he was coming up north, he built Fort Kentomen at Reno, which is outside the Fort Reno, which was a fort along the Bozeman Trail. Kentomen's just a fancy military word that means temporary. So, and when you go down in that area of Wyoming outside, just east of Sussex, you can still see the pits where Crook's men had dug basically rooms to put a tarp over.
Oh, wow.
And there's actually, I think with the help of the Wyoming State Historical Society and some members of the Bozeman Trail Association, there's some signage down there too that points out where that was. You're down on Lower Crazy Woman Creek Road. But yeah, Crook doesn't meet up Custer. He's out of ammunition. He has plenty of men with him, but not the ammunition. So
that's incredible. So they return here and change the course of history.
Change the course of history, and it's kind of interesting. I don't know if this is an interesting factoid or kind of useless knowledge, but while Custer was meeting his end, Crook was out down here in Sheridan fishing and hunting bears. So there's something to look forward to if you're with Crook. Yeah.
Now, why is the battle known to the Northern Cheyenne as where the girl saved her brother?
So it's when we think of warfare, and especially in Victorian times, we don't think of women on the battlefield. With the Northern Cheyenne, they have women warriors. And there's a young gal named Buffalo. We say Buffalo Road Calf Woman, but talking to our Northern Cheyenne friends, the real name would be Calf Road Woman, because calves back in 1876, they didn't really think of just being, you know, when we say calf, we think cows.
Cattle. Yeah.
So now it's, but for them, it would have been Buffalo. So modern parlance, we added Buffalo Road, Buffalo Calf Road. Anyways, this cool, really interesting event happens. You have a warrior named Comes in Sights, and he's doing a bravery run in front of the Crook's infantry. And he's taunting them. You know, if you kind of picture it like Dances with Wolves when Kevin Costner is right in front of the Confederate line. So you see this guy, open arms, you know, taunting the infantry. Well, Comes in Sights, he doesn't get shot, but unfortunately for his horse is shot out from underneath him. He's pinned down in this valley in what is called the Gap. And you have up on this high hill, there's this rider just comes barreling down over undering their horse and swoops down, kind of circles around, Comes in Sights and urges him, get on my horse, get on my horse. Comes in Sights, swings up, and they run in front of the Cheyenne. And this is a big rally point for the Northern Cheyenne. And it, as history teaches us, it's a young girl about 14 years old.
Wow.
And that, it's Buffalo Road Calf Woman, and it's Comes in Sights as her brother. So for because of that single act of heroism, the Northern Cheyenne deemed it where the sister saved her brother, or I think a better translation is where the girl saved her brother. Her act of heroism still affects us today. Montana State Parks doesn't own any of the mineral rights on that chunk of land. So with that, we added another level of protection. Because of the significance to the Northern Cheyenne, the Rosebud was able to gain National Historic Landmark status because of the important that the historical importance to the Cheyenne. It met the qualifications from the National Park Service.
That's so incredible.
She's basically still saving the park today.
That is a great way to look at it. I love that. She's still saving it to this day. On that, I got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more when we return. Stick with us. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching our Community Commitment Match to support our local fire districts during this fire season.
First Federal is putting up an initial $35,000, and a Wyoming Community Foundation Donor Advised Fund is matching that $35,000. Now we're asking the community to match an additional $35,000.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
The Sheridan's Farmers Market is back for another great season at Whitney Commons Park. You'll find local produce, meat, eggs, coffee, baked goods, and outstanding locally handcrafted items. Every Thursday, June 18th through September 10th from 5 to 7 p.m. If you'd like a booth for this year's market, contact Nancy Drummond today at 307-751-3863. The Sheridan Farmers Market, sponsored in part by Sheridan Media.
Yeah, looking for that feeling. Need a boost in Sheridan. Come on by the Health Nut on 5th Street. Give your day a try. Soup, salad, smoothies, fresh and sweet. Quality supplements for the path you meet. The Health Nut on 5th, your wellness retreat.
This is Brad at Primerate Motors. If you're looking for a good, honest, pre-owned vehicle, stop by and see what we've got on the lot. Pickups, SUVs, and cars that are ready for Wyoming roads and Wyoming weather. No runaround, just solid vehicles at fair prices. Whether it's for work, ranch, or just getting around town, we'll help you find the right ride. Primerate Motors at 2305 Coffin Avenue in Sheridan, or visit us online at primeratemotors.com.
Some people golf, some people garden. You fish your bass off. Yep, it's that time of year again. And Mead Lumber and Camco Federal Credit Union want your photos. Fish your bass off and submit your photos for a chance to reel in $600 in prizes. Big fish, accidental stick catches, we want to see them all. Cast your line and post your pics on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com through Labor Day. Fish your bass off from Mead Lumber and Camco Federal Credit Union.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and I'm sitting here throwing out my vacation pitches to Wyoming Historical Site Superintendent Sherry Mooney Shada and Tongue River Reservoir and Rosebud Battlefield State Parks Recreational Specialist Spencer Morris. Now, we were talking about events that are going to be taking place up at the Battle of the Rosebud. When will that take place? Just so I've got the date out there, Spencer.
Our 150th commemoration is going to be on Wednesday, June 17th. It's going to be the day of the battle. We start at 10 a.m. With opening ceremonies. We have Native American flag escort speeches. Dr. Leo Kilsback from the Northern Cheyenne is going to be the keynote speaker. We have a wreath laying ceremony or commemoration, and the Northern Cheyenne are going to be riding into the battlefield about 1 p.m. According to their planner, we should expect about 100 horseback riders riding into the battlefield. And when they get in there, we are doing a, I don't want to say reenactment, but a demonstration of the Sister Saved Her Brother event. And we have members from a reenactment group who will be cavalry and infantry in the Northern Cheyenne, and some Lakota riders displaying what that Sister Saved Her Brother event would possibly look like. So we don't do reenactments much up at the battlefield because it's pretty, reenactments are costly, but the Northern Cheyenne took this on and is blessing basically the park with this reenactment.
So it's going to be beautiful.
Pretty cool. Followed by, you don't hear this word much anymore, but a free meal. We're having a late lunch provided by the park. There's no cost to the public. So just sit down and enjoy a meal. We're trying to make this event about healing.
So, yeah. That's fantastic. I love that, that approach to all of it. And Sherry, you and I have talked about these events in the past, and the native, our indigenous perspectives being added to all of it. And that's why I love the fact that, hey, this is kind of their show. You know, This is the Northern Cheyenne. They're going to come in and they want to put their skills on display. And I think that's amazing. And they are going to reenact it the way that they feel. This is the way it probably happened. This is what it would look like.
Yeah. Over my 21 seasons out there, it's been pretty focused interpretation wise from the Army perspective. And it's time that we start including our Native American brothers and sisters. In the past, the Northern Cheyenne have done a run. They used to run from to honor Buffalo Road Calf Woman. The Cheyenne used to run from the battlefield the 26 miles to Busby.
Wow.
Now, because it usually fell on a weekend and reservoir traffic coming from, the Billings area, Colstrip, Miles City area, the highway is narrow and it's a little dangerous. So now, the Cheyenne will do a run in the park using, the D loop road that kind of circles through the battlefield. They'll run that a couple times. In honor of Buffalo Road Calf Woman, but it's Tribal Health puts it on, so there's not a lot of historical talk. They just do the do it for in memory of
Buffalo absolutely. Road. One more time, when does it all start?
Starts okay. June 17th at 10 a.m. in the morning, basically all day. There's light snacks provided. We'll have some shade tents. And a good old historic good time.
That sounds like it's going to be a really good time. Now, 4 days prior to that.
Yes.
Sherry, what's planned for the June 13th Bozeman Trail Day celebration?
Yes. Fort Phil Kearny is celebrating its 150th anniversary this year. And on June 13th from 10 to 3 p.m., we are having our official exhibit grand opening. Come see all of our new inside permanent exhibits, but also reviving the Bozeman Trail Day, which has happened out there in the past. So you can come out and listen to cavalry and infantry talks. There's a bugle demo, crow teepee raising, period music being played, weapons demo, living history, everything. Game and Fish will be there with some educational items, like the fur pelts that everybody wants to touch and learn about.
Oh, yeah.
And then the State Historic Preservation Office is coming with State Archaeology Day. They're doing an event up in conjunction with us. So you can learn how to flint nap and throw the atlatl. And it's just going to be a day full of everything, basically.
I love the interactive history with it all. A lot of people haven't thrown an atlatl.
Yeah.
And those of us who have, probably weren't any good at it. Yeah. I wasn't.
Yeah, same.
I really gave it my best, but I just couldn't get it. The flint napping thing, you got to watch yourself because that'll become a habit. flint napping is actually really fun to do, mm-hmm. and to have a bunch of kids come up there and learn how to do that, I think that would just be
adults.
So
yeah.
fun.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, the materials to flint nap are all over the place.
Exactly.
And you can make some really fun stuff.
Yes.
Now, let's talk about those permanent exhibits that are going to be kind of unveiled that mm-hmm. day. I'm mm-hmm. really excited about these. Is there a list? Hey, this is what we've got. And if you've got that, just run down for me real quick.
Sure. We've got new information panels that talk about the history of the area before the fort was there. The fort was only there for 2 years, but there are people there way before and after that. So we focus on the four tribes that the Army would have interacted with, the Crow, Lakota, Arapaho, and Cheyenne. And then we talk about what it was like for the Army to be there, not just the soldiers, but the families they brought with them, the civilians who were there. We incorporate quotes from everybody, from warriors, from you know, Cheyenne kids who were a little too little to participate, but they were there and they remembered, from the officers, their wives, their children. So we have a lot of firsthand perspectives. We have our artifacts out in drawers that you can kind of pull out and discover. It's always a surprise to people, like, oh, what's in this drawer? And so we can show more of our artifacts now, which is great. We have Cheyenne stories being told by a Cheyenne narrator. Our first Native American student interpretive ranger, Trey Wolf Black, narrated this for us. And so they're being projected across several screens, and you can hear these stories that were the kind of the predictions from the Fetterman fight, 100 in the hand, like how it was prophesied that that's the wrong word, but that about 100 soldiers would be killed. And so you get to hear that from a Cheyenne perspective, which is really cool. Yeah.
I love that program. Yeah. Just having them come up and getting that, like we were talking about in the previous segment, their perspective.
Yeah.
I want to know their history about it.
Exactly. Exactly.
The word of mouth history that's been handed down, and the stories that just are so rich with history and tradition and culture. Now, if I were to ask you, and I know it's like children.
You really don't have a favorite, but which maybe one, you do.
But maybe you do. Which one's your favorite?
Gosh, I love the artifact drawers because I'm a curator, and I like being able to show things. And they're not back behind, you know, glass case far away. They're right there in front of you. There's plexiglass over it. You can't touch it because I'm a curator, but you can see it right there. But I also love the stories. They're projected on canvas, and the way that it's presented is so different. And everybody just stops, and they just stop and they stare at this and they watch it. It's a 4-minute presentation on a loop, but it's so effective.
Yeah. Yeah. And you ever find yourself just sitting there?
Oh,
Even though you've heard them 100 times.
I probably haven't memorized. Yeah.
Yeah. You still find yourself sitting there and reflecting on.
Yeah, it draws people right over to it.
I don't think a lot of people understand the importance of the Bozeman until they really dive into it. It's not something that we talk about now. And when we do, we usually call it the Bloody Bozeman. We think about the battles. Mm-hmm. We think about the conflicts. But the importance of this trail to immigration, to the indigenous people anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this trail was the West for a long time. And then to think that that fort, which has made such an impact in our area, 2 years.
Yeah,
it was only there for 2 years. Think about the significance of all the stories and the history that you really looked at. And of course, you do. It's your whole life. On something that was only there for 2 years out of our history.
Blip in time. Yeah. And people still talk about it.
All the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
So now, have you thrown the outlaw?
Yes. And I think if I were a hunter, I would have starved. I'm not good at it.
Now, when does it all start? And is there a fee, or is this something families
thank you.
Can do?
This is totally free. You can come and do so much. It's Saturday, June 13th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. See the exhibits, do all the living history and archaeology things. But then that night, if the sky is clear at 8:30 p.m., we're going to have a dark sky program out there and telescopes, and it's great for viewing the sky. It's a new moon, so it's going to be pretty dark out there.
Now, I got to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about that, because there is something pretty special about that area up there. you get a little clearer view of the sky, and hopefully the weather holds up. All right, more when we return. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust invites you to the Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes.
Now through July, every eligible purchase with your First Federal MasterCard debit card earns an entry.
You don't have a card? Open an account online to start participating.
The more you use your card, the more chances you earn.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago, or prepaid MasterCards worth $1,000 or $500.
The Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes on now at First Federal Bank and Trust. Go to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
Hi, this is Jill Bates.
And Colton Bates.
With the Bates Team at Best. You've spent months, maybe even years, thinking through whether to buy or sell, watching interest rates and neighboring properties.
But when it comes to choosing your real estate team, it often becomes whoever is available or most convenient when it's officially go time. This process clearly matters to you, so it shouldn't be rushed.
Our team at Best does not cut corners. From top-of-the-line staging to working around your schedule, we're there to give you the best guidance every step of the way. This is no doubt a big moment in your life, and it deserves the best team behind it.
Give us a call today at 675-BEST and visit bestwy.net.
This is the captain at Captain Clean. Do you have a giant mess you need cleaned up? Did you just build a house or building and can't tackle the amount of unforeseen sheetrock dust? Call our team at Captain Clean and let our experts take over. From post-construction cleanups to sewer backups, there is rarely a mess too big for us to tackle. Call Captain Clean today, 672-0726. Affordable choices for healthy living.
We clean more for you.
I was ready to make a change.
I was ready to be healthier.
I was ready to get help, so I called.
When you're ready to quit tobacco, we'll be ready. Enrolling in Wyoming Quit Tobacco's no-cost program is proven to be 3 times more effective than going it alone. For free patches and gum or to speak with a certified quit coach, visit quitwyo.org or call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. Brought to you by the Wyoming Department of Health, paid for by tobacco settlement funds.
Side-by-sides and UTVs are everywhere in Wyoming, but a lot of people don't realize where the coverage gaps are. Your auto policy won't cover it. Your homeowner's policy, very limited, especially off your property. So if someone gets hurt or you end up on a public road, you could be looking at a claim with no coverage or even a ticket. Iron Valley Insurance Group helps make sure your UTV is actually protected. Visit Jessica Weaver, certified insurance counselor in Sheridan, and have that conversation before summer gets busy. Iron Valley Insurance Group, forged in strength, guided by compassion. Request a quote at ironvalleyins.com.
Doug Summers coming, and I want adventure.
You mean camping, trails, and mountains?
You got it, and more.
Then check out this 2017 Jeep Wrangler Sierra at Waring Chevrolet.
That screams fun.
Only 70,000 miles, and get this, Bob, just $399 down, and your payments are only $399 a month on this Jeep Wrangler.
Wow, anyone can live with that kind of payment. Does it come with hiking skills?
No, Bob, but the Jeep helps.
Check out the $399 down and $399 month vehicles at Waring Chevrolet. Go online, waringsheridan.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. Proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and we are joined by Wyoming Historical Site Superintendent Sherry Mooney Shada and Tongue River Reservoir and Rosebud Battlefield State Parks Recreational Specialist Spencer Morris. Now, let's talk about some recreation. First off, I want to make sure that we're hitting all events. So, Sherry, tell me what's happening up at the fort. We've got the big event happening on June 13th.
Mm-hmm.
4 days later, all of our history buffs are going to be heading north to the 150th Battle of the Rosebud, right? 150.
Yes. 150.
150. All right. There's also some other events happening up at the fort.
Yes, we have a month full of events. We have two bird walks happening June 7 and June 19, 9 a.m. Start at the Interpretive Center. It's $4 per adult and kids are free and get to go on a bird walk. And all levels of birders are encouraged from beginner to experienced.
That's another thing that's come with age, my friend.
I know. You get into birds. I know.
I think it's just part of it.
I know.
Well, you're 40 now.
Time to start looking at birds.
Go
yeah.
get your first bird feeder. Welcome to the club.
That's right. That's right.
You're going to spend hours at your window. Don't know what it is.
I know.
My wife has joined the crowd, and now we've got two squirrels, and we're getting there. We're those people. So the bird walks, what goes on in a bird walk? Should I bring some binoculars? Do you guys have some?
Yeah. Bring your binoculars if you don't have any. I think we have some that people can borrow. It will be led by Keyhole Site Superintendent Mary. And she's a huge bird nerd. I say that lovingly. She's into it. She's into it. And then we have an Audubon Society member who also comes along. She's with the Bozeman Trail Association, too. And so between the two of them, there's a lot of knowledge, so much knowledge. So bring your hat, wear your sunscreen, water, binoculars if you have them. It's okay if you don't.
Make sure you're bringing that water, folks. The NCO inside me is telling you to hydrate.
That's right.
You will dehydrate a lot faster than you think you will out there. Now, what types of birds have you commonly seen out there?
Oh, my gosh. We have a whole list. A whole list. Right now, we have the sandhill cranes there, and you can hear them, and they're amazing.
Beautiful.
You can always see the pheasants and the turkeys. We have an eagle's nest pretty nearby. I like the big birds. I don't really know about the little birds, but there's some little ones that people get really excited about. I just can't think of their name right now, but they're down in the brush near the creek, and you get down there and it's really exciting. Red-winged blackbird. I know that's one we have.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still learning birds.
You got to go on this
walk. I'm new to the 40s, right?
Now, when we go up and we visit Fort Phil Kearny, has anybody pulled you aside, or even yourself being up there as much as you are, what is so unique about that landscape up there that has really kind of taken your breath away? Or you've seen somebody, you know, clutch the pearls as they look out into the prairie.
Yeah, well, I say our landscape is a whole nother character in this story. The landscape is why the fort was chosen right there. The landscape is why the tribes were so mad that the army was there. It was sacred. It's where they resupplied. It's where they hunted. And then it's pretty much untouched. Like, you can imagine what it would have looked like 160 years ago. There's some houses, but mostly the hills are, you know, you get to hear the birds and see that wildlife, which is really cool. And then you have the Fetterman Battlefield, and people come and they're like, how did 800 warriors hide? How did the army not see them?
Yeah.
Right. And then you get there and you realize how many foothills and crevices and everything there are. And then they are like, oh, okay, we get it. We get it now. And you had to be there to see it. And so, yeah, I appreciate that landscape hasn't changed that much. And I love watching visitors understand how it played such an important part to the story.
And I'm going to tell, and I know I've said this before, and I may sound like a broken record to you, Sherry, but on your moonlit tours, just take a moment and stop and look out into that, just the blackness of it all. If it wasn't for that moon, holy goodness, your hand in front of your face.
I mean, it
gets dark up there.
It does.
But that is also why it's such a fantastic location for Skylab.
Exactly.
Tell me about Skylab.
Exactly. So we are in the process. I know we always say this, but we're really getting close to getting our telescope building, the observatory, working again. We have a dedicated volunteer with a plan. And so we are trying to do that. So the telescope's inside, it works great. We just can't rotate the roof to point it where we want to point the telescope. So we have other telescopes coming out. And on a new moon, it is pitch black out there. And so on June 13th, if you want to experience that for yourself, it's perfect for night sky viewing. And we'll have several astronomers there to explain things. And I think our group's coming from the Casper Observatory.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Going to have a great group of people out there who really know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And what they're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, that just makes the whole experience.
It does.
You know, having someone, what constellation is that? What star am I looking at? Why is that one red? You know, a bunch of questions that people have. And actually having someone there on site to inform you on that.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you. You don't realize you live with the light pollution that you live with until you're out there in that area. Mm-hmm. You know, my father lives out pretty far, and I had a couple of old army buddies up for an event. This was about 2 years ago, out to my dad's farm. And we just stood in my dad's driveway and stared up at the sky. And I had one buddy say, my gosh, I forgot there were that many stars in the sky. Just because we don't realize the light pollution drives everything out until we have an event like that. And then you realize it.
Yes.
It is full up there, folks. Now, Tongue River Reservoir State Park. This is a recreational opportunity. The whole thing.
All recreation all the time. Crazy from Memorial Day until Labor Day. We're in the thick of it.
Now, tell me about the... now, when it comes to the reservoir, I got camping opportunities up there.
You have 162 camping options. You know, the reservoir, the property that we manage is 642 acres, which, you know, in comparison to Rosebud is not a lot, but there's a lot packed into that 640 acres. We have 7 campgrounds, 162 campsites to choose from. Well, 81 of them have an electrical hookup. 28 of those electrical hookups are a double site where you can get your best friend. They can bring, you can take your camper and your buddy's camper, and you can park right next to each other and both have dedicated hookups. You're not sharing electricity and popping the breaker and the whole campground goes dark. It's kind of funny. 1/4 of July, we do a little parade every 4th of July, just to help relieve the tension of staff and engage our park patrons. One year, it's like 95 degrees out. All you hear around is the hum of air conditioners off these campers.
Yeah.
And one kid wants popcorn. So mom or dad goes into the camper and starts popping some popcorn, and then you hear this little like cap gun pop, electricity out all over the park, all because of popcorn. But I mean, we have camping, there's fishing, water recreation. It's kind of interesting. It's very cyclical. You know, you get dawn to about 10, you get the anglers are out on their boats. When I lived on site, you could pretty much, you knew when dawn, well, besides the sunrise, and you heard boat motors about 5:30 in the morning.
Firing
up and zooming out, beating each other to their favorite fishing spots. And then about 10 o'clock, all the fishermen are coming in and all the water sports folks, the wakeboards, the jet skis, the tubers, the water skiers are headed out for the day. And right around supper time, you get the anglers are going back out. And oftentimes it's the same boat.
You know,
mom and dad come back, grab the kids, get the tubes, go out for the day, and then drop the kids off and go fishing, or a nice evening relaxing cruise, keeping the kids at camp and mom and dad go out.
Take a little break.
Take that small break.
Well, now, if I wanted to go camping up there, what do I have to do?
So we always have room for people. We've never turned people away from the reservoir. People forget that we do have those 162 campsites. 3 of the campgrounds are reservable. So you can get online to Montana State Parks, or what is it? MontanaStateParks.mt.gov, or there's a toll-free telephone number, and we're going to really test my memory now. It's 1-855, I'm going to flub it up, so we're not even going to go
look
there.
Look online.
Look online, or call the park office, and we can direct you in the right area. And then, you know, if you're kind of a little touchy about the camping fees, you know, so folks from Sheridan were charging non-resident fees. We'd all realize it's Wyoming water in a Montana reservoir, but magic happens at the state line. So right now, for you to come out, get an electrical site, it's $34 for the night. However, if you were to come out to the park or get online and buy what's called the Montana State Parks Passport, that covers your day use for the calendar year. And if you do it right, you buy it the first week of June, it's good until the end of June of 2027. So if you time it right, you can get 13 months out of that. But it also reduces your camp fee by $10. It brings it down to the Montana resident rate of $24. Mm-hmm. So I always recommend people buy it, because if you come out, six times in a calendar year, you're almost to that $50. And if you camp five nights throughout the summer, you've saved that $50 in camp fees. So I highly recommend getting that Parks Passport. And if you're bringing your watercraft up, make sure it's gone through the AIS check station. Mm-hmm. We have partnered with our friends at Wyoming Game and Fish. So if you are in Sheridan and you come up to the information center, and we'll honor that boat check. If you forgot, or you can come up to the park office. And if we have the staff available, there's three of us on site that can do a boat inspection as well.
Fantastic. I want to thank you both so much for coming in and speaking with me this morning. This was fun.
Thanks.
We should do this more often.
History Power Hour.
I was just going to say that.
The History Power Hour.
That's right.
I love it. One day I would just love to get kind of my big history aficionados in here and just have like an open table discussion where everybody just throws it out there. But that'll have to wait for another time. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching our Community Commitment Match to support our local fire districts during this fire season.
First Federal is putting up an initial $35,000, and a Wyoming Community Foundation Donor Advised Fund is matching that $35,000. Now we're asking the community to match an additional $35,000.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Wyoming has a real choice for Congress. We can send another politician to Washington, or we can send Frank Chapman, a rancher, a businessman. Frank knows a thing or two about balancing a checkbook. Frank's no politician. He's a conservative fighter for people like us. Frank Chapman for Congress.
Frank Chapman lives Wyoming values. Hard work, straight talk, and Frank's never backed down from a fight. Chapman is a rancher, a father, not a politician. Frank Chapman is the conservative we need in Congress. That's why conservative groups like CPAC have endorsed Chapman.
I am blessed in that God put me in a place where I could succeed.
Frank Chapman is the fighter we need in Congress.
Frank Chapman, Wyoming rancher, American businessman. He'll seal the border, back our ICE agents, unleash American energy, defend your Constitution, and make America great again. Frank Chapman, conservative for Congress.
Paid for by Fighting for Wyoming. Fightingforwyoming.com, who is responsible for the content of this advertising, and it is not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
This 4th of July, the spirit of America's 250th stampedes into Buffalo for the biggest birthday bash in Wyoming, the Red, White, and West 250. Honoring America's 250th anniversary with a night of pure country grit featuring Cole Goodwin. From Nashville to the heart of the Bighorns, Cole is bringing that red dirt honky tonk, including his latest single, Howdy.
Been waiting internally, debating to finally work up the nerve, and I said, Howdy, do you come here off in mind?
It's more than a concert, it's a celebration of the land we love. Get your tickets now at wyotheater.com. And if you're a local business wanting to be part of the action, we're looking for food trucks and artisans to join the celebration. Secure your spot on Vendors Row today by contacting the Buffalo Chamber of Commerce. Don't wait. Get your tickets now for the Red, White, and West 250 with Cole Goodwin. Sponsored by the Johnson County 250 Committee, the Buffalo Chamber of Commerce, and your home for real country 93.7 The Coyote.
You tell yourself you've got it handled. The rides, the medications, the meals, the cleaning, and the worry. But carrying it all by yourself gets heavy. Synergy Home Care is here to help you breathe again, while making sure your loved one is cared for with patience, respect, and real compassion. From companionship and memory care, to hospital to home support and specialized home care, they show up for the moment that matters most. Visit SynergyHomeCare.com. Call 674-HOME. That's 674-H-O-M-E. Synergy Home Care, local family-owned home care you can count on.
The week's big questions. Meet the Press, Sunday at noon on News Talk.